Hello, and welcome to the Learn Chinese Insights podcast, brought to you by ChineseTrack.com. In each episode, we interview expats from around the world who have learned Mandarin Chinese as a second language to find out how they learned it and how they use it in daily life. You can listen to this episode in your podcast app, as you're doing now, or you can watch it on YouTube using the link in the description. So with me today, I'm happy to have Lamine. So Lamine, before we get started, why don't you introduce yourself in Chinese? Just tell us who you are, where you're from, what you do here, and then we'll go from there.
Okay, we'll say Lamine, or in one means it's Lamine, John one means it's Jie Lamine, or from Gambia later, or since I was in Taiwan, So I was in Taiwan. 我原本来台湾是读书的，所以毕业后就是找工作，现在我是在教英文，还有打工就是那个part time就是那个 YouTuber.
All right. So you mentioned that you've come to Taiwan from Gambia. It was 11 years ago?
Yeah.
Yeah. So what brought you to Taiwan?
I just wanted to go somewhere to study to get my higher education. And a friend suggested me that there's a country that offers scholarships. So I started looking for the universities around and applied for universities that offered English program. Because then I don't know anything in Chinese. So I got a scholarship at this university that offers a program completely in English. So that's a good offer. And the package is good, so I just came. Because I had scholarships from other countries, but when I compare Taiwan to them, the weather conditions, Taiwan is much more favorable from where I come from, so it's easier to acclimatize here. So then I decided to choose Taiwan.
So you mentioned, of course, you've been here for 11 years. So when you originally came here, was it your plan to stick around beyond the degree you get?
No, like I usually said, Taiwan, it's a place where it's very easy to get addicted. My initial plan was to come study my four-year program and then go back. But then when I came, as time goes, my first 1-3 months, I feel very lonely. I even cried at one point. I wanted to just go back. But as time goes on, I started getting used to things and making friends, and my Chinese started improving. So I feel at ease and make more friends, and things started getting much more interesting. So after I graduated my four-year program, I decided to apply for my master's again. So I did my master's degree here too and got a job, and you know, still around.
So when you got here, now the degree of course was all in English. So at what point did you decide that, hey, while I'm here, I also want to learn Chinese? Was that always the plan?
Well, initially, that wasn't my plan, but my degree program, there's this requirement that we have to have Chinese classes. So throughout the whole four-year program, every semester, we had a Chinese class. Okay, but that wasn't very interesting because I still had a lot of homeworks to do in my English program. And during that English program, I also started another degree program that is making it a double major. But that program is mainly in Chinese. So the teachers will do the lectures in Chinese, and then I'll have to be in class as a requirement. I won't hear or I won't understand anything that they say. So I started making friends, Taiwanese friends, in those classes. Most of them can't speak English at all. So all they do is they will write some things to me, and we try to translate, use our phones to translate, try to communicate to each other. So the teachers will recommend English textbooks to me so I could go back and do some homeworks and some research on my own, and they will test me on that. So with that situation was another reason that conditions me or forced me to start paying attention to learning Chinese. But previously, The normal Chinese classes, they will give me lots of homeworks. I have to go back and write a lot, which I feel like it's taking a lot of my time because I had other homeworks. And I feel those are more important to me at that time to do my normal classes, homeworks, to get my credits right. So I don't like the Chinese classes. Anytime it's Chinese class, I feel depressed because the teacher is going to start speaking Chinese, playing recordings and stuff like that. So really make me disinterested in learning Chinese. But as time goes on, because I started studying the other degree, I feel like I don't have a choice here. I have to really pay attention to learning Chinese. But still, I find it very difficult. So for me, my Chinese started improving when I got a Taiwanese girlfriend. So because she can speak English, but still her English is a little bit rough. So some things she will have to speak to me in Chinese. So when she said something, I'll say, what is that? Then she will repeat again and I will note it down and tend to remember those things. So that helps improve my listening ability and my oral speaking. And my other department also, my friends, they will say some things and we will write it down. So it's like I'm teaching them some words in English and they're teaching me some words in Chinese. So this way I was able to remember so many words and like normal day-to-day conversation, I was able to catch up very fast. But still my reading and writing is way behind because I wasn't really interested in trying to practice to remember those characters. So that's how my Chinese speaking gets better. And as I graduated, I get into this adventure thing, going to hot springs and waterfalls where you'll find so many, I think foreigners are doing it, but there are so many local Taiwanese people who are doing that too. So I tend to make friends from there, and most of them can't speak English at all. So that also conditions me to learn a lot to be able to communicate with them. So making friends here, some will say it's not easy, but if you have a common interest, something that you do and the Thai locals are also doing it, you'll easily make friends. So for me, that's how I easily make friends, because my hobby is to go out every Saturday and Sunday. I'll go to mountains, hot springs and waterfalls, and I'll meet so many locals there. And then we'll become friends. And from there, you know, I have to speak to Chinese to them. So now I can speak almost, I can say what I want to say, basically. And I can communicate with my friends in Chinese. I can go shopping. I can do things in Chinese. And my writing is still very horrible, but I can use Pinyin to write. I can use my phone to write whatever I want to write. And I can also speak voice message my friends using Chinese. Yeah. So this is how I learn my Chinese.
So you said over the time you focus more on the speaking and listening because you're in situations where you're engaging with people. But you said your reading and writing was falling behind. So as far as reading goes, what did you do to... Did you ever catch up?
No, I still haven't catch up because time constraint. I still have to go to work when I'm back. I'm kind of tired. I don't want to start doing something else again. So, but recently I've started learning Bepomofo. So I've started learning how to write Bepomofo. Maybe from there, I will move on to start practicing characters by joining words together. And maybe that will help. But for now, few basic characters I still remember from back days practicing hard in school. Yeah, but I can write my name, those kind of stuff. And if I see the characters, I can write them. But personally, if you ask me to write some things, you say it for me to write, I won't be able to write them. And I feel like being here for 11 years kind of feel embarrassing. I've talked to some people who have lived here for 20 years and they can't read and write, or they even their speaking is very bad. And I feel like, oh, I don't want to be like that. So still, it's a bit late, 11 years, and people have been here 2-3 years and they can read and write and speak very well. And I'm here 11 years and I can't do that. So I feel embarrassed with that. So it's kind of cliche, but I'll try to improve on that as fast as I could.
Yeah. So you said before you were using Pinyin, but then recently you've been learning the Chu-in, the Bepa Mepha. So how does that help you?
I haven't done much. My girlfriend is the one who is helping me most of it. So she bought me a book that I have to practice writing something that I don't like before, but now I have to do it again. So I've started practicing writing the Bepa Mephas. And my car, when I'm doing something, if I want to write, she will ask me not to use Pinyin, but instead use Bepa Mepha that I've learned to try to see if I could implement them in real world situations. So that's how she's helping me to go along with it. Yeah.
So you've started practicing typing using Bepa Mepha?
Not yet, but like yesterday, I wanted to write my name and she wanted me to use Bepa Mepha, like GA, LA, so T type the Papamo folder, those kind of stuff. Those are simple things that we started doing. I told her, if you put pressure on me, I will give up. Because of this pressure, I give up practicing. So let me do it because I wanted to do it. So it's easier for you to catch up or learn something that you wanted to do or in a way that is fun. If it becomes pressure, even for an adult or even as a child, things become as a pressure, you kind of feel disinterested. So doing things that you like to do or that it's fun doing, I think is much more easier in learning. So I told her that, well, let me do it because I wanted to do it and let me do it at my own pace. If you put pressure on me, I'm going to give up. So she's not pressurizing me. I'm doing it when I have time. So it's been a week. I haven't even looked at the book yet.
So if you learn this Purpa Murpha and you get really good at it, what's the next step? Like, what's the benefit of being able to do that?
Well, because like currently I'm dealing with so many local Taiwanese companies and other things, and most information in Taiwan, almost everything officially, so many information, they're all in Chinese. And if you want that independence to be able to do things without having to take a screenshot and send it to her for her to translate it for me, I could easily read them myself. If I want to go pay my taxes or pay my license or whatever, I could easily go and read the information and do it by myself. I also make YouTube content videos, and I have to do Chinese subtitle translations. I could easily do those things by myself rather than relying fully on her. If she's not available, I have to sit and wait. So there are so many things that are, if you go to restaurants, there are so many restaurants here. The whole menu is in Chinese. Some, when I get So I'll have to use my phone and scan and translate some of the things that I wanted to. So all these things will become much more easier. If you want to live here longer, learning, reading and writing and speaking becomes very, very important.
So learning the Zhu in the Purpa Murpha, is that a step towards reading characters or writing characters? Or
it's a step to writing characters, and more like writing characters, because the Purpa Murpha enables you to be able to use the sounds to be able to have a suggested character that you wanted to write. But to be able to write with your hand, you'll have to remember how to write these characters. The Purpa Murpha will not help you with that. But with software like computers or so, the ping in Purpa Murpha will be able to help you to write the characters and things like that. So the Purpa Murpha is mainly to be able to help me write, and also like with the software writing the characters. But I'll also continue to practice writing the whole characters itself as I completed this Purpa Murpha thing. So if you're able to remember these characters while practicing to write them, you'll be able to read them. So this is how I plan to go on with it.
So as far as you learning how to read, do you have a system in place? Like, how do you know which characters to focus on and what to study next?
For now, I don't have any particular target set. I'm just like, okay, finish this Purpa Murpha and then move on to maybe she's going to recommend another book for me. Or if I like come across any characters or we use any Chinese characters, I'll try to write them down and practice those and remember them. When I go to places and see characters that I don't know, I'll try to remember them and write them down and practice. Even now when I go to some of my classes, the students, we write a word. And like yesterday, I wrote something like were, how to put on clothes. One student asked, what is this? We say chuan. So I say, okay, can you write this on the board? So one student came and write that word next to the English word. So I write that word on my notebook, try to make so I also remember how to write this word. So these simple ways, I'm trying to use them at my advantage to be able to remember some few things. Yeah.
You mentioned earlier you have a YouTube channel now. So does being able to speak Chinese help you with that?
Yes. I have two YouTube channels. The first one, it's about going to hot springs and waterfalls, and the target audience is mainly Taiwanese. Though I wanted to share the beauty of the nature around in Taiwan to the external world, but I don't know for what reason my main audience are Taiwanese. So there I have to speak Chinese in the video while I'm introducing some things in the nature. When I started doing that, my vocabulary in that aspect also improves. So it's like there are so many set vocabulary areas. If you're into technology, there are vocabularies that you'll have to get used to. If it is education, if it is nature, if it is business, whatever, there are still these set vocabularies that you have to get used to. So when I started going into nature, my vocabulary in that aspect improves a lot. So if you go back to the beginning of my videos, there are so many things. Mostly I will just speak English. But as time goes on, my recent videos, almost part of the whole video, I will speak in Chinese to introduce certain areas, what to avoid, what to do, and so on. So I have to speak Chinese. But with this other channel, the interviewees are all in English. So all that I need to do is the translations in Chinese. And people will comment a lot, and I'll have to read these comments and respond to these comments, which I can do. So what I will do now is screenshot them and translate them, or show it to my girlfriend. Hey, what is this? And she will tell me this. So these are things that are very inconvenient for me. I wanted to be able to do them myself.
So as you improve your Chinese, it'll speed up that process.
It will help a lot.
So looking back on your journey here in the past 11 years, would you do anything differently in terms of how you studied Chinese or how you got to where you are now?
Yes, I would have paid much attention in my Chinese classes and study hard instead of neglecting that aspect of it. I thought it was cumbersome and I would write till my fingers will hurt, but I think it's worth it if you could take that, be patient with that a little while and go over that line, then you're set for a very long time. So I would have done that one more time. I would have paid attention to those Chinese classes much more than I did.
All right. Yeah, makes sense. All right. Well, thank you very much. We'll share some links to your YouTube channel for the people interested in checking you out.
Thank you very much.